Episode 28, Silent Illumination.
Where meditation meets daily life, this is the Meditation Freedom Podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Meditation Freedom Podcast. My name is Seeker Rode. And this podcast is all about meditation and mindfulness. And in particular, I look into why we meditate. And I do that by talking with guests and once in a while making a contribution of my own with my own perspective, like on this particular episode. Now, one of the things that I have been experimenting with is this new app called, not Skype, but Periscope. And Periscope is a way where you can broadcast live and immediately be online and basically immediately be visible and audible. And folks can log in and chat with the person broadcasting. And so I've been trying to do that, just kind of going out at night whenever I would go out anyway to go take a walk in the desert and sit down and maybe take a 5 or 10 minute mini meditation to sit down and enjoy my breath while I look at the desert and smell the creosote and look at the mountains. So you're more than welcome to join that. And I post whenever I'm live on Twitter, and most likely it's 2 or 3 days in the week between 7 and 8 at night. So you're more than welcome to join me and we can chat that way. And you would just be able to find me by going to installing Periscope on your iPhone or your Android and then just searching for Meditation Freedom. And then you'll find my account. I want to share another thing later at the end of the podcast, and that's called a weather phenomenon called the rolling thunder. And I've never heard of it before until we moved here. And I have a really great friend, a neighbor, who is a total weather freak. And he recorded a segment of a rolling thunder. And it's basically these giant clouds, these cumulonimbus clouds that start building right before you get that thunder and lightning. And just that building of the clouds right above the desert creates a rolling, continuous, thunderous sound. And it's very fascinating to listen to. And I wanted to share just a couple minutes of that on the podcast and then just post a longer version on the website. Because it's a very interesting phenomenon. It happens during the monsoons when the monsoon comes from the Gulf of Mexico and moves into the desert, the lower Sonoran Desert out here in eastern San Diego County. And I want to be sure to thank two listeners real quickly who left some really neat comments and who gave me some feedback on the show. Marina from Los Angeles and Joey from London in the UK. Thanks so much for your comments. That's really helpful and I enjoy interacting with whoever is listening. So keep those comments coming. So today I just want to bring up a poem, what I think is of as a poem by a 12th century Zen master. And the poem is talking about just sitting and with your open awareness and having illumination because of the silence that descends on you after you do some meditation and sitting after a while. And I think it's a very interesting articulation of this Zen teacher's experience of shikantaza, or just sitting with open awareness. And this poem is called The Imprint of Silent Illumination. And this is the type of poem that gets chanted or recited in Zen centers or monasteries in various parts of the world. When you recite that over time, you become more intimate with whatever the original author meant by that. And oftentimes they're very, they're not easy to get. So if you listen to this poem, just relax and not use your mind or your associative thinking or trying to analyze it. You just listen to it like a poem and let it sink into you. And that's often the way it works when you listen to these poems. You just let them go through you, and eventually, after you recite them a few times, or maybe hundreds or thousands of times, they could sometimes create an opening for the person practicing with that, and it can help them bring about a new understanding or insight, or just allow them to go deeper in their practice, their meditation practice. So it's okay to listen to these things and to go, what was that? What did that mean? But just to listen to them and see them as an articulation of somebody who's sat for a long time, and it resonated enough that monks and nuns and people who practice later on, it resonated enough for them to want to keep that particular text, that particular articulation of somebody's experience of silent illumination. And as you can perhaps see through the word silent illumination, it's not so much that this person is practicing a particular meditation technique, it's more like after you've practiced this meditation technique, and it could be like breathing meditation or counting your breaths or body awareness or multiple other techniques, or even koan, that at some point you just sit and you just have pure open awareness and attention and alertness, and you're not really practicing anything, but you're very alert and awake. At that point, the practice, in a way, the meditation is doing itself, so there's no conscious trying or striving or pushing. But it just does itself. The practice does itself, and that's a wonderful pointing in practice. And as you'll hear in the poem, there's a certain liveliness and spaciousness and freedom of that state of mind, that where your mind is just wide open and you're alert and you're aware, but you're not trying or doing anything. You're just being. And as other guests have mentioned as well in the show, over time this becomes just natural, just like a muscle, you're cultivating it. So then when you're going out into the world and doing your day-to-day activities, moment to moment, that kind of alertness can come in, and you might still have this really settled mind, and you might still have, even in the midst of a subway or in traffic, or walking down the street, you might still have that silence and that settled mind that allows you to then be very intimate with the world around you. In a sense, not have any boundaries between where you begin and the world ends. So the kind of the subject-object disappears and falls away, or drops away, as they like to say in Zen. So one way to look at that is to look at your mind as though it was a pond or, you know, a big lake. And you see, if it's choppy and it's windy, then the lake has got lots of waves, and whatever is reflecting in it is going to be fractured. So if you had a full moon out and it's dark and the moon is reflected in the pond, but if the pond is busy and in turmoil, just like your mind, it can't reflect the moon, the full moon. So it can't illuminate. And another frequently used analogy, and you may have heard that because this is fairly common for meditation teachers to use that, is the settling of water. If you have water and you throw a bunch of dirt in it and you stir it up, you know, let's say you have a clear glass and you stir that water, that murky water around, and then you can't see through it. So it's not clear. But if you let the water settle, and sometimes that takes half an hour, sometimes that takes a week, like a retreat. But once that water is settled, whatever you're trying to see is much more clear than before. And so meditation is a way of practicing, of settling our minds and resting our weary minds, as an old teacher used to say. So there's different ways of looking at that, this meditative mind of silent illumination. And I like the word stillness because silence can oftentimes be confused with it having to be silent outside or inside. But stillness is a way where you can imagine this pond or this water being still and therefore being much more clear. And another analogy I like is a rushing river. Now, if you're always part of the river of life and this river is always in a hurry and rushing, then sometimes you miss things. And meditation is a way where you sit on the banks of that river as a witness. You look over it and it's much more clear. You can take a step back and look at your life, at the river of your life, and perhaps make corrections that way if you needed to. Or perhaps it might give you inspiration or creativity. You know, Joseph Campbell used to say, regret is delayed illumination, and meditation, in a way, is allowing you to get that illumination first so that you don't have regrets afterwards, after you make a decision or a choice. So it helps you see much clearer, and then you're less likely to have a delayed illumination where, like the school of hard knocks, you get knocked around and then you go, oh, okay, maybe I should have done this or that. And so it allows you to take a step back and take a good look and just get in touch with what really matters or what's really important and just see more clearly. So that's one of the reasons for me why I get back on the cushion every morning and meditate. And just a couple of brief words, and just in case the meaning of silence and stillness is interpreted as passivity, there's a really good quote from Thich Nhat Hanh, and he says, meditation is not evasion, it's a serene encounter with reality. And he goes on to say that it's like a person on stilts, standing on these 6-foot stilts. You're going to be very alert and mindful because one misstep and you're on the ground or maybe on the concrete. So this is a very active rather than passive alertness and awareness of each moment. Or to put it in my own words, it's a active encounter with the present, an active encounter with each moment, and an ability to uncover the stillness that's already there, you know, that was always there, but that is covered up by our internal chatter and the incessant, oftentimes, and the constant thinking. So I just want to make sure to mention that as well, that it's not a passive activity. So here it goes. Here's the poem or inscription or guidepost by Zen Master Hong Qi, read to you by Christina.
The imprint of silent illumination. Silent and serene, one forgets all words. Clear and vivid, it appears before you, when one realizes time has no limits. When felt deeply, life becomes vibrant, singularly illuminating this bright awareness. Full of wonder is the pure illumination, dew in the moonlight, river of stars. Snow-covered pines, clouds hovering on mountain peaks, in darkness it glows with brightness, in shadow it shines with a splendid light. Like the dream of a crane flying in the frosty mist, like the clear water reaching the autumn sky. Endless eons dissolve into nothingness, each indistinguishable from the other. In this brightness, all striving is forgotten. What is the wonder? Alertly seeing through confusion is the way of silent illumination and the origin of subtle radiance. Vision penetrating into radiance is weaving gold on a jade loom. Subject and objects influence each other. Light and darkness are mutually dependent. There is neither mind nor world to rely on. yet the two mutually interact. Drink the medicine of correct views. Beat the poison-smeared drum. When they interact, silence and illumination are complete. Killing and bringing to life is a choice to make. At last, through the gate, one emerges. The fruit has ripened on the branch. Only this silence is the ultimate teaching. Only this illumination, the universal response. The teaching not heard with the ears, and the response is without effort. Throughout the universe, all things glisten, and each expounds the Dharma. They attest to each other, and accord in dialogue, responding in perfect harmony. But when illumination is without stillness, then the distinctions will be seen and harshness will arrive. If within stillness brightness is lost, all become wasteful and dull. When silent illumination is complete, the lotus will blossom, the dreamer will awaken, the 100 streams flow to the ocean. The 1,000 mountains face the highest peak, like geese preferring milk to water, like bees gathering the choicest pollen. When silent illumination reaches the ultimate, it penetrates from the most subtle to the greatest. I embody the original tradition of my lineage, the body sannyata and the arms mudra. From the beginningless to endless, only one task, though expressed in 10,000 shapes and forms. The basic matter of our line hits the mark, straight and true. Pass this on in all directions, without a wish for gain. This is the practice called silent illumination.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, and please let me know in the comments on the meditationfreedom.com/28 episode webpage, and let me know what you think, and maybe you can tell me a little bit about what your experience is with silence or silent illumination or stillness practices. So I want to end this podcast with this Rolling Thunder sound clip. That's one of those things, too, where you can just let it go through you. Instead of thinking about it, if you just enjoy listening to it, then you're intimate with it and not separate from it anymore. And animals are great teachers as well. They if you look at them, you can see how they, if they're awake, they're definitely present with the sounds and the things that are happening around them. So perhaps we can learn from other animals as well, and I know I do. So with that, here's the sounds from a thundercloud building above the desert floor. Enjoy, and I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Meditation Freedom Podcast, where meditation meets daily life.